This hour on the programme, we're talking to another of the candidates who've declared they'll be bidding for a seat in the House of Keys at September's general election. Here on Talking Heads, we're talking to the challengers in this year's poll. Today's candidate is Brian Stoll, who's standing in Onchan. Good afternoon, Brian, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Stuart.
No stranger to the programme.
No. Have been here before.
And a different day, and yet more people declaring in Onchan. It seems to be the place that people want to stand for.
Yeah, we're getting to the point now where the candidates equal the voters, I think.
Yeah, I think it's getting that way. Now, I'm going to ask you pretty much the same questions that we've asked everybody else. It's important that we're absolutely fair as far as the candidates are concerned. You stood before, I know that you stood in 2006, but give us a bit of background on Brian Stoll. How did you get to today?
Well, I was born in 1952. And I've had a very nice life, and I'm here now. No, I took an interest in politics, and I've watched the island get itself into the position we're in at the moment, which I think is quite critical, to be honest. I've heard some of your candidates, and I heard Alan Bell on the radio admit that there's been smoke and mirrors going on in our finance. Well, I'm glad to hear that we've heard that admission.
Yes.
I heard talk that, you know, there are members that don't understand the difference between revenue and capital schemes. Well, where you've got something like the Energy from Waste plant that started off as a capital scheme and then they sold it to the Isle of Man Bank on the strength of the lease and then transferred the loan into a revenue, I can understand why they have difficulty, because that is the smoke and mirrors that allow a government to say that we haven't got horrendous borrowings. But if you have a situation when you're converting everything into a revenue commitment for the future just to make your books look good, then you've got serious, serious issues. And let me jump in before you say something. We're desperately short of national politicians. This is not a dog muck election.
Yes.
There are real serious issues here, and we need some serious people to address them. Let the local authorities sort out the footpaths and all the rest of the crud. We've got to sort out for the people.
And that's why you're standing for election in the House of Keys, because you've done that. You've been a commissioner, you've been chairman of Onchan Commissioners, so you're fed up with dealing with dog muck and things like that. You want to get to national issues.
No, I mean, there are two distinct areas. National politics and local politics are two totally different things. They revolve around the same ideals. That's to save money for your electorate. Now, we've totally lost sight of where we should be. The important things in life are how you handle the vulnerable and the elderly in your society. And what we're doing is we're putting money into piers and roundabouts and all sorts of bizarre things. And we have a situation whereby, I mean, my wife started out as a teacher thinking she was going to retire at 60, and because she's born on New Year's Day, we could have a situation in the future where she suddenly got to work for 67 because they're short of money, whilst we're bailing out Greece, and they've been retiring at 53 for the last decade.
Well, yeah, but the Isle of Man's hardly supporting Greece, surely.
No, but I'm using that as an example. These are the priorities, these are the issues. We have a situation now where we pay our pensioner a fraction of what it costs us to keep a prisoner in the prison.
Yes.
You know, I'm not trying to say that I'm not against making severe cutbacks in any which way, shape or form. Government has to start tightening up, but it's taken 50 years, Stu, to get into the mess that we're in today.
Well, a lot of people that are in the current government would say, well, hang on a minute, it's all very well criticising, but the fact of the matter is that we've got a very different Isle of Man now to the one that we had 20, 25 years ago. That the governments in that period have done a pretty good job in pulling the island up by its bootstraps, and we've had a very good quality of living for some considerable time now. All right, things have changed over the last two or three years, but do you not think it's unfair to maybe criticised too much?
And that was a party political broadcast on behalf of Stu Peter. No, the situation is, from my perspective, yes, we've had 25 years of unbridled good economy. And if you look at my last manifesto, I said nothing has been put to one side for a rainy day, and the rainy day is coming. Well, the rainy day is here, and what we've got put to one side is a pittance. A lot of the things that we've capitalised, we should have capitalised over a shorter period of time. We should have paid for by now. We've sold the family jewels. Now, as I said before, government needs to reduce, but it's taken 50 years to get to the size it is. It's going to take 50 years to get it back down without causing the pain and mass sackings and all the things that have been suggested.
But isn't it just a reaction to the world that we live in, that over the last 25 years of growth in the Isle of Man economy, isn't it the right thing that government has employed maybe more people than it's needed to share the wealth amongst the population rather than just let the money men on Athol Street take it all?
No, not at all. Government is to run the island. It's not there to expand into some major business, to be in competition. I mean, whatever the state of the economy, the role of government is to ensure efficient running, efficiency. Now, I come from the private sector. I get really brassed off. You know, I'm associated with Mr. Goubet. And people will say, oh, he stole his Goubet's Rottweiler and all this blooming hogwash. He, by the way, doesn't want me to stand. And after all this debacle that has gone on with other politicians and that, I have to declare my association with Albert. But we've been working towards getting an answer, not getting a casino, getting an answer for this casino extension, a £30 million development for the last 4 years. We're no further forward now than we were 4 years ago. And every letter has on the bottom of it, freedom to flourish.
Yes. So is that one of your criticisms of the government at the moment, the fact that it just doesn't seem able to react to things quickly enough?
They can't make a decision.
And why is that? Because they need to consult with the population on pretty much every single issue these days?
From the colour of the toilet paper right the way through. I mean, they're there. Now, we'll come now to the subject of accountability, right? If you are elected to represent me, go and do it.
Yeah.
Go and make the decisions on my behalf. But when you make the wrong decisions, you be accountable.
Yes.
Hold your hands up and say, I made that decision, I got it wrong, this is what I'm going to do to put it right.
That's not a very popular way of doing things if you're a politician, is
no,
it?
No, because what you do is you run into the masses, hide in the corner and pretend you had nothing at all to do with it. Give me the handkerchief so I can wipe my fingerprints off the pen.
Yes. What do you think you could bring to Manx politics on a national basis?
Somebody's got to bring common sense to bear. I mean, we've just had a real issue in Onchan over green issues. And everybody's saying that I'm anti-green, anti-recycling, anti-ever. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I want to see things proven before we jump on the bandwagon. There's a load of green terrorists out there that are screaming, we've got to do this, that and the other. But they're not proving their case.
Yes.
And any politician has an obligation to be certain in their mind that they're doing the right thing. The right thing. Not the popular thing.
Yeah. Do you think that people are guilty of knee-jerk reactions to...
All the time.
Yes.
All the time, and they're so populist-driven. You know, half of the population wants to see me dead. Well, you know, be that as it may, so long as their wish is granted, isn't granted, I don't care. I'm doing what I believe is right, what I believe to be the right thing, and if somebody would come forward and put forward a cohesive argument, I'll change my mind. I'm wrong a lot of the time. But somebody has to actually stand up and give me a proper argument.
Yes.
Not all this guff. In the private sector, you get somebody to advise you, you do a project, if it all goes pear-shaped, you sue their butt off for the poor information that they've given you.
So maybe some of the schemes in the Isle of Man could benefit from that kind of treatment, do you think?
Well... Goodness gracious me.
Where consultants have been brought in at vast expense who've supposedly been experts in things, and we've ended up with white elephants, maybe?
All over the place.
Yes.
All over the place. We've got, let's look at infrastructure for a start. They've gone crazy. We're talking about healthcare. healthcare, and what we've built a roundabout at Port Erin. Oh, that's going to help the situation immensely. Richmond Hill, come on, was that necessary? You go over the mountain, the TT course, two major bends have been modified. It's about people. You've got to be looking at people and see what you've provided, not only for today, but for the future. And what we've been doing for a long, long time is selling the family silver.
Your one voice, though, what difference could you make if you were elected?
I'm a loud voice, though.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you've got. You've got to try and bring people with you. And if you can't bring them with you, you have to highlight the situation so that the electorate out there can think for themselves. And that's another big problem, because we've got populist politics because people vote for personalities. Mm. You know, I'll probably come bottom of the poll and get thrown out of the...
Well, you got fairly close last time in 2006, didn't you?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. People have had much more time to dislike me all the more. I say it as I see it. And somebody has to do that. We can't keep just giving the people what they want to hear. And all the very, very nice people that will be elected that haven't got a brain cell are going to get us deeper and deeper into trouble. Have you been reading the manifestos?
Because they want to give people what they want to hear. Is that your worry? That
Can't give people everything that they want all of the time.
Yes.
It's impossible. So, please... let's just have a bit of realism and have a bit of conscience.
In terms of working with other people, could you work with other people in government? I mean, you're standing as an independent, I think, aren't you?
Yeah.
Have you got leanings towards the Lib Vans or the Positive Action Group? Or
no,
any
I work
of these
with anybody. In the private sector, you work with anybody and everybody all of the time.
Yes.
Sometimes you work with people that you don't perhaps even like, but I'll take money off anybody.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio.
We're talking to Brian Stoll, who is standing for Onchan in the general election in September. And we ought to clear up, because people do get confused, that there's more than one Brian Stoll in Onchan, of course, isn't there? You don't know anything about nuclear physics, I don't think, do you? Or the Manx language?
I don't know anything about the Manx language, but I'm not bad on nuclear physics. Yeah. Fortunately, I am quite a practical individual. Look, let me clarify the situation. There is one Brian Stoll that speaks Manx.
Yes.
And there's one Brian Stoll that speaks common sense.
Ah, right. That's the way that you're going to do it. I see. Right, tell me a bit about your beliefs then. MHKs, are they paid too much or too little?
For me to actually take up the role as an MHK will be a drop in salary, I suppose, in many ways. So, you know, I think you've got to be passionate about what you're doing. The problem with it is, where you pay your MHKs, it encourages people to go for the position because they can't get that level of salary based on their own ability.
Right.
Their only qualification is... they're very, very nice people, and they'll be voted in, and they'll get a very, very enhanced salary compared to what they could do, doing what they would normally do, selling deck chairs on the seafront.
And especially if they get a governmental, a government position, a departmental position.
And
do you think people should be paid extra for that, or do you think that if you're paid as an MHK, that ought to be it?
Well, I think they should be paid a flat salary, but you should have a qualification, an entry qualification. You should understand the basis of national politics at entry level. It's always a thorny one. I don't actually think that MHKs should be paid at all. Realistically.
So that just means that rich people would be politicians.
Well, yeah, but then to be a rich person, you have to have some business acumen, and you have to understand how
things might be inherited.
Well, yeah. Mostly inherited money wields its way away. There's no perfect system. Democracy isn't the best system. It's just the one that we've got, and it's failing miserably because we've got probably 50 prospective MHKs out there at the moment buying votes. They're promising people all sorts of things just to get elected.
Yes.
The welfare state has been a wonderful thing to help people, but it's also responsible for a lot of the problems that we've got today.
All right, what are the main planks of your campaign? It's all very well saying that you stand for common sense, you're the plain-speaking Brian Stoll, you tell it like it is. Great, so what do you offer people in Onchan?
Well, exactly that. as far as the island's concerned, I think we've got some real serious issues, and I, on my own, are not going to be able to address them or understand them.
And what are those issues? What are the main issues?
Well, let's look at our revenue stream for a start.
VAT.
Yeah, VAT. This Common Purse Agreement is a serious issue for us. It's under review again. We should be looking at abrogation. Not that I'm advocating abrogation. We should, on a day-to-day basis, know exactly what the implications are in case we have to make that step.
Yes.
Without due notice, because that could be forced upon us. Most people out there don't even understand what the Common Purse Agreement is, and the complexity of that is you have to take into account not only the VAT on the Isle of Man, but VAT levied on goods that will be posted to the Isle of Man,
yes.
Taxation on fuel and duty coming to the Isle of Man, and, of course, goods and services that are going off island.
And somebody suggested this week also that the offshore oil or gas fields were included somewhere there as well in terms of the formula with the UK.
The formula is immensely complicated, and you hear people talk about even our relationship with Europe, you know, Protocol 3. If you've ever read Protocol 3, it's a single sheet of paper. It's very basic. It's
yes.
down to one sentence.
So it looks as though we're in trouble as far as the VAT sharing agreement is concerned. We've already lost 140 million. Part of that came back because the VAT level went up to 20%. There's talk that we're going to lose even more. What's the island going to do? What is the next government going to do to solve this situation?
Well, first of all, emergency talks will have to take place. I mean, the talk is there could be a further 60 million. That's the figure that I've heard bandied around.
Mm.
I mean, that's a major sum of money for us to lose from our revenue. And how we would replace that in a short term, I do not know.
I would suggest that we couldn't replace it.
We can't replace it. We can't replace it. And we haven't got the reserves. And what's worse is in the good times, we've committed ourselves to revenue expenditure that goes on for the next 30, 40 years.
Yes.
Now, we have to address that issue, and we have to negotiate long and hard. But the people that we have to negotiate for us on our behalf have to have people with experience. It's no use taking somebody from the corner shop who sells milk.
And can you negotiate? I mean, if the UK government decides that the situation is going to change, it doesn't matter how much shouting and screaming you do, surely, as far as the Isle of Man is concerned, the decision will be whatever they decide, won't it?
Well, if you say that and you're right and true, we lie on the floor and let them walk over us.
Well,
that can't happen. We have to get out there and we have to start doing whatever we can.
People
we have
been
a situation
suggesting
at
that,
the moment.
That, yeah, people have been suggesting that the government should have done more about the reciprocal health agreement. It should have done more about the VAT agreement. The question is that the Isle of Man doesn't have many aces in its hand, does it, in terms of negotiating?
It has.
On
a negotiating viewpoint, it has the announcement of three new nuclear power stations on our doorstep.
Mm.
That's the first thing. You know, they're announcing that. I would be using that in their face and saying, hey, hang on here, guys. If you think you're going to build those...
And what are we going to do about it? What's the other man going to do to stop them?
Well, what about our nuclear power station? I'll get Harry from Laxey to look after it. And they'll jump in and they'll say, what experience has Harry got? None!
It's a nice idea, but I can't quite see that one flying.
No, it won't. And I'm being flippant about it. But who are you going to send to negotiate?
Mm.
You know, we have to have strong negotiators, intelligent people, people who understand what's going on and who can grasp these situations and do the very best that they can for the people.
Supposing that all that happens and that we still end up losing more money. I mean, we've not really come to terms with losing the amount of money that we've lost already, so the talk that there's going to be more.
No, but we've pretended, haven't we?
We have pretended, yes, and we've kind of danced around the edges of it, haven't we? But what should the government be doing now? I mean, do you feel that the civil service is bloated, that there are far too many people employed
Absolutely.
In the public sector?
Which is what I come back to the start of this conversation. Reduction in government, But it's taken so long to get to this size, we can't cut it overnight. We're going to have to do it by natural wastage over a long period of time. Our problem is that we've been capitalising schemes like there's no tomorrow. When I went into Onchan Commissioners, I was horrified to find that Commissioners 50 years ago built Onchan Stadium and capitalised it over 60 years.
Yes.
You know, the place where I played as a child was built up, and now the people of Onchan are still paying for it. Now, you can't go on like that, Stu.
But that's happened in countries around the world forever, hasn't it? It's only fairly recently, and I said this to somebody else the other day, that the UK stopped paying the Americans for war loans.
Yeah, because governments rely upon inflation, because what they try and do, they don't want to stamp out inflation because they want to capitalise something over a long period of time and let inflation eke into it to reduce the burden to their electorate. But they've been doing that for so long that now we're encumbered with these things which are going to have demands on our revenue stream long into the future. So we have to sharpen our pencil and redress the balance.
The present government would say that that's exactly what they're doing, that they are trying to organise a reduction in the number of people employed by natural wastage so that redundancies don't have to happen. What if you're elected and it becomes apparent that you're going to have to just make people compulsory redundant? Would you be prepared to do that?
Well, if that's the case, and I hope that that wouldn't be the case, but there will have to be efficiencies. We've had to find efficiencies in Onchan, and we do our very best, and we've done our very best to relocate people and do all that you can to mitigate that. But the fact is that when the ship is sinking, you sometimes have to take difficult decisions.
Yes.
For everybody else on board.
And this is what you were saying earlier on, that it's all very well being popular, but that's not what's going to pay
the rent
effectively.
No, and you've just hit the nail. You said that they're now making cutbacks, but I bring you back to after 25 years of unbridled growth, had they have been making proper decisions 25 years ago, we'd be awash with money now, not awash with problems.
What do you think you could bring to a new national government? We've talked about what you could do as an MHK. What sort of skills do you think you could bring to a government?
Well, I regard myself as being a bit of a techie, and a lot of these things that I've looked at, I believe that when you are asked to read a paper on recycling, yeah, or on the IRIS project, then you have a responsibility to read and understand it. If you don't understand it, don't support it.
Yeah.
You have to get to grips with these things, because how some of these schemes actually came to fruition in the first place beggars belief. You know, the practicality of some schemes. I was told the other day, last year, when I was on a tour of Miri Veg, it cost £2,000 a day to pump the effluent up Quine's Hill in electricity charges. I've been on the Energy from Waste Plant Committee for a number of years, and when you see what goes on there, you know, we're, yeah, pelletising the effluent and burning it in the incinerator. What's that all about?
Yes.
We didn't want to put it in the sea, so we burn it, put it up the chimney, and then it comes down in the sea. After several hundred million pounds, we built a power station. Does anybody not realise that curtain wall glazing is probably the most expensive way to build a building? You know, somebody should have thought, what's going on here with this as it was going up? But then Mr. Prophet suddenly finds himself in the crosshairs. But there were a lot of people in Treasury saw that being built. Where did they think the money was going to come from?
Well, not everything's got to be utilitarian, has it? You know, it's quite nice that you can look at the Pullrose Power Station and see the workings inside, isn't it? If you're a techie, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah, I do, and I've been round, and I think it's a wonderful place, and my great-great-great-great-grandchildren, I hope, will have the chance to have a look at it, because they'll be paying for it. You know, Mr. Bell had the problem when he had the shortage of cash, and he said, well, I'll go away and sort the problem. He's come back and said, problem sorted. And he sorted it all right. We've borrowed the money, and we're not going to start paying it back until, what, 2039?
We've got 1 minute left. Tell us, or tell the voters of Onchan, why they should vote for Brian Stowell in September.
Well, that's up to them. don't vote for a nice person, vote for me. No one can ever accuse me of being a nice fella.
It's like the Simon Cowell approach, this, isn't it, really?
I don't know, really. You know, what you see is what you get with me, Sue. I haven't... There isn't a pretense in me. I'm like the Gore's Rock, I was told today. I've got the Isle of Man right through the middle.
And are you knocking on doors? Are you talking to people?
Well, I am talking to people, yes. Unfortunately, as I've told you, I am involved in the private sector very heavily, and I have rather serious commitments which I have to work my way out of just in case I'm successful.
Right.
So there are severe time constraints on me at the moment and pressures. But I'm doing the very best that I can. If I am elected, fine. If I'm not elected, then God help those who are elected, because then you won't be blocking me from getting in this studio in your interest of fairness.
Absolutely. And we're out of time. Brian Stoll, as ever, it's lovely to talk to you. No doubt we'll talk again before September.
Thanks.